tonight. If you would, turn to Proverbs chapter number 13. That's where we're going to be at tonight. How's everyone doing? Good to see the Hesters back from their vacation. Had a wonderful time. They left a little bit up there for the young adults and teens to enjoy. They painted the town up there in Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. But it's good to see you guys back with us. We missed you. They can have the traffic. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that we can live without. A lot of things. You know, we live in a consumer age where, you know, just by looking on our phone, we got Amazon, and we can get on there and we can find a lot of things. And within a day now, because we live close to a distribution center, within a day you can order something on Amazon and then have it at your house the same day. And you don't even have to leave your house. So there's things out there that we can get easily. Get things. But there's some things in life that we cannot live without. You know, there was a study that was done and it said a human being can live 40 days without food. I struggle with 40 minutes sometimes, but 40 days the human body can live without food. And it says also that you can live without any water for 3 days. Any type of consumption of water. Can't take anything in for 3 days. You can live without that. Then also there's 8 minutes. You can live 8 minutes without air. Does anybody care to try that here for the next little bit? We had some training here for the security team, and one of the guys, he was doing some showing us how to use a tourniquet. And he put a tourniquet on his arm and tightened that thing down to where his arm started turning purple. His hand from here down started turning purple. And he just kept walking back and forth. Talking, and his arm just kept turning a crazy color. I don't know how long. I had to be, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes. He had this tourniquet on his arm. I'm like, I don't know. But as soon as he took that tourniquet off, his arm turned blush red. The blood just zoomed back into it really quick. But I'm like, man, how long can your arm live without that blood circulating through it? But I wasn't going to try it. And I don't want to try it tonight about seeing how long I can go without air in here, but there's a lot of things we can't live without. But one of the most important things that I've come to see and come to experience is how we've ever, if anyone, we cannot live without hope. We desperately need hope. Each and every day we need hope. And here we are in Proverbs 13. And look with me in verse number 12, Proverbs 13. And at the very first part of it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hearts get heavy when we lose hope. It hurts when we lose hope. And we can read in God's word that there is times that we're going to see adversities. Pastor was preaching about it in James. There's going to be times that we're going to have to deal with a lot of hard things in our life. We'll have to face difficulties. And these difficulties have the potential for each and every one of us to defer our hope, like it's reading here in Proverbs chapter number 13. James 1 says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It means various trials and adversities. Count it all joy. You do that. When you're young, it seems like you have your life all ahead of you. I know when I graduated, I was talking about this. Even Hudson was talking about that. When I graduated from high school, opportunities just seem endless, do they not? Man, I just got done. I'm ready to conquer the world. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do that. One of the things I did, I wanted to take pilot's lessons. And I had a job, and I was able to start doing that. And I'm scared of heights. If you put a ladder here, I'm going to be scared to climb that ladder. I'm scared of it. Why would I want to do pilot's lessons? I have no idea, but I wanted to do it. So I went to Rowan County and paid $100, and I got in the plane the very first day and took off. Of course, it wasn't me by myself. I had an instructor with me. But, you know, possibilities were endless when you're young. Always think about that. But as you get older, things on your body just doesn't seem like they want to work anymore. They just don't. It doesn't matter if you're young or old or you're healthy. If your health is not right, you tend to start losing hope. your life quality, the quality of life that you have, just seems like it starts going downhill. And we tonight, if you looked at the prayer list, a lot of things that we have on the prayer list is dealing with a lot of people with health issues. And health has a very good, strong tendency to cause us to lose hope. All through the Bible, we can see that. Look at Jairus in Luke chapter 8. He was a ruler of a synagogue. A ruler. He was a religious man. And what are they doing? He was trying to do what he can to find Christ because he had a daughter that was 12 years old that was on her deathbed. And he did what he can because he loved his daughter. He loved her. So he was trying to seek out Christ to be able to get him to her to heal him. While Jesus was going to go with Jairus, and there was a throng of people around him, as he was trying to follow along with them, an unnamed woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years pressed through that crowd to touch Jesus. And this woman for 12 years spent everything that she had. It talks about that. Spent everything that she had to try to cure this issue of blood. So I can see right here, Jairus, the health of his daughter was very important to him. This lady who was dealing with the issue of blood for 12 years, her health was very important to her. And these things can cause us to lose our hope. Health issues can really cause us to lose our hope. If your health, when it fails, you have the potential to defer your hope. We pray many times for people in our families. It's good to hear that Richard Agnew had a good report on that. It's good to hear that your brother had a good report about a stomach thing. These are things that we're lifting up to them. But we time and time again, we have people that we're praying for. And we thank you so much for your prayers that you're offering for Kelly's dad. Him too has an issue of blood. Leukemia. It attacks your bone marrow, which is what produces your blood. And I know from time to time, the roller coaster thing that he's been through of doing good, of doing bad, thinking two times that he was not going to live to see the next day. You know, dealing with this. Even his own health. Steve Reynolds, her dad, has had the opportunity to lose hope when he's dealing with his health. If it's not health that we're dealing with, and many of us go through this, if it's not health, it's finances that can cause us to defer our hope. The price of everything is going up. We filled up our van last week, and it cost us $106 to fill up our van. Any of you that have these SUVs and these bigger vehicles, I know that the gas prices are hurting your wallet. Brother Hawkins, out there on the road, these gas prices hurt your wallet. So finances, having the thought of, am I going to have enough to make it? Am I going to have enough to be able to put food on the table to pay the bills? Finances has the opportunity to cause us to lose our hope. If it's not the price that's causing it, it's the lack of the items that's on the shelf. I was thinking of Beth, you know, needing formula for her daughter, needing this, you know, and then you go to the store and there's none on the shelf. There's a lack of it. So you don't have the money sometimes. You might have the money, but you're not be able to get the stuff that's on the shelf anymore. What about relationships or the lack thereof? You see, relationships flourish between friends, but your own relationship with those same friends seem to become more distant. You tend to think inward. Is it something that's with me? Those thoughts, is it something with me? And those thoughts, if you continue on thinking these in your mind, what do? You don't draw closer to them. You tend to pull away from those friends. You have sometimes these thoughts come in your mind, I have nothing to offer in this relationship. So instead of seeking to strengthen that relationship, you withdraw. These thoughts then lead to us to thinking more inward to self and tend to focus on our shortcomings and our failures. And the thoughts come in thinking that nothing will change, and we lose hope because we're losing relationships between our friends. What about those secret sins that you have? Each and every one of us know when we say something about a secret sin, it pops into your mind. What about that? Nobody knows about it. Even the closest, your wife or your husband doesn't know anything about that secret sin that you have. It has a grip on you. It's a stronghold in your life. And time again, you've come down to the altar and you said, Lord, I want to give this up to you. And it seems like it comes back like a tidal wave upon you. And it's like, I can never get over this. These strongholds that we have in our lives, sometimes we can lose hope that we will never get over these things. What about a job that you have? Seems that you're stuck in a dead-end job. You can't get away from it. You spent years getting to where you're at. And if you change your job, it seems that you will be going backwards in your career instead of progressing. The pay will decrease. And you have a family that depends upon that paycheck that you have. So what do? Day in and day out, you're just a robot going to work. I have to do this. You lose hope because this is what I got to do. Take care of my family. And it's easy for us to defer our hope. It could be your marriage. Time and time again, you try to do what you can to strengthen your marriage. And it seems like those fiery darts keep on coming in, attacking your family. I promise you, and through the studies that the Lord has allowed Kelly and I to study to be a help to the married couples in here, Satan is doing what he can to destroy your home. He's going to attack the husband in the home. Do what he can. Throw in those fiery darts to do what he can to destroy your home and to break it up. To get the father out of the home. He is doing what he can. And these attacks come on. They're like just relentless coming on us. And if we don't have that walk with the Lord, we can easily defer our hope. But hope deferred says it maketh the heart sick. But there's ways that we can go about that we don't lose hope. You know, I want to get at the bad stuff that we're looking at here. And we all have the tendency through our life, the things that we deal with, we can easily lose hope. But Hebrews 12:2 is my life verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We go through a lot of things. We deal with a lot of heartaches in our life. But the number one thing that we always need to do is always turn our eyes upon him. Keep looking unto Jesus. The hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So all these things that are heavy on us and it causes us to defer our hope. The number one thing I would want to encourage you to do in every situation, even though it might be hard at the moment, look to Jesus. Amen. Turn, look to him. He's the one that's going to give the help. He's the one that's going to give strength. In all my study in the Bible, I've come to an understanding that I am to worship God and I'm to love him and to enjoy the creator of heaven and earth. That's what we ought to do. We are created to worship him. And if we get back to what we were created to do, hope will come back in because our focus is upon him. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon, everything in his life that he was able to experience, or he wasn't supposed to, but he experienced it. And when he come to the end of his life, this is what he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And this is not being afraid of God. This is having a great respect, a reverential awe to God is what this is talking about. It's what we need to have. And that's what Solomon knew that we need to have. The wisest man ever lived. And here he's writing it down and said, hey, encourage you. This is what you need to do. Fear God and keep his commandments. Romans 11:33-36 says, oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be the recompense unto him again. Right here it is. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things to be glory forever. Amen. All our worship and our attention should be upon God. And that helps us so we don't lose our hope. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. Psalm 73:25-26 says, whom hath I in heaven but thee? Many times we looked at everything else in this world to try to give us some type of enjoyment. But here it is in Psalms. The psalmist is writing, who have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And Jesus Christ himself, as he's talking, it says in Matthew 22, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Many times we lose hope because we lose sight of our Lord and Savior. And that's why I want to encourage you tonight, turn your eyes upon him and look full in his wonderful face. And this is what brings us to the next point, is the last part of Matthew 22 says that this right here. This is the first and great commandment of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. Everything within you, love the Lord. It's what he's commanding us to do. And it said the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love God. Turn your eyes upon him. Look to him. This is the one first and foremost that we need to do to help us not to lose our hope. And the second one is mentioned here in Matthew 22. Do what you can for the people that's around you. Thank you, Miss Linda, for that testimony, what you just said tonight. Thank you for that. Many times, I am guilty. I am the most guilty of us all. I just had knee surgery. Guess what I was doing on week 2? What was me? It happens. You know why? Because I was looking on myself. My focus was all on me. What our focus needs to be is on everybody else. It helps us when we take our eyes off of us and we start looking on what are the needs of other people. Focus on their needs. Job, the Lord helped him. You can read that in Job 42. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The captivity, what Job was going through, the Lord helped him and strengthened him when he started praying for his friends. Even his friends that was giving him wrong counsel, he started praying for them. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Find something to do to help others. Because I promise you, when you start losing hope, what are you going to do? You're going to turn inward. You're going to start focusing on everything. You're going to focus on your shortcomings. Turn to the Lord. And then do what you can to be a help to others. Find something to do. Get involved in the church. Our church is growing. There are things, I promise you, that you can do. You get with Pastor. He'll find something for you to do. If you want to get involved, he can help you get involved. There is people that need help in this church. This community needs help. Get involved. Find a need. And then pray and ask the Lord if you're the one to fill that need. Not every need is for you to fill. That's why you need to be seeking the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do to seek and to feel that need? Get busy helping others. So the first thing we need to do if we start losing hope, turn, look to our Lord. Jairus did it. He seeked out the Lord. This lady that had the issue of blood, she seeked out the Lord. You too need to seek the Lord, look to him, and then get busy helping others, doing what we can, praying for them, being an encouragement to them. Writing letters, writing postcards, doing something to be a help to the people that's around us. And then lastly, if you come to the place where you have deferred your hope, get into God's Word. Get into His Word. We have it available to us. Please don't just bring this. Only time you look at this is when you're at church or when you're in Sunday school. Please don't do that. Get into God's Word. It's a help in the time of need. Trouble comes, as we read in James 1, but trouble will not get the best of us if we are people of the Bible. And we need to be people of the Bible. If we get into God's Word and we read out these great and precious promises, it'd be hard for us to lose hope. Get into it. Got some verses. I'm just going to read some of these verses here. So a lot of them in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Verse number 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. I prevented the drawing of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. And in Psalms 135, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. We have his word. Get into it. It'd be a help. It'd be an encouragement. It'd be a strengthening to you. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We, when we're in these things where we're heavy, our heart's heavy, and we're losing hope, look to the Lord. Do what you can to help others, and then get into God's word. Hebrews 11:6, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Cometh. That ETH denotes the state of continuance. We, each and every day, need to continue on coming to the Lord, getting into his word. That's where the health and strength is at. Is anybody in here still living on the breath that they took yesterday morning when they woke up? It'd be kind of hard to do that. No, you need a breath right after you exhale the first breath, right? It's the same thing with God's word. And it says right here, "For he that continually comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you lose hope, you get into God's word, he will give you that hope. Psalms 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." The direction that we need to go, always get into God's word, and it helps us as we're on this thing called life dealing with. If you would, we're almost finished here. Turn to James chapter 1. Pastor was just here preaching in this. Verse number 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves in the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Take what you read in God's word by faith and trusting in him, that he will keep his promises. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Just a couple books over. 2 books over. 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And then if you would turn back to Proverbs chapter 13, and I'm done. Just want to show this to you. 13:12. "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." It's the thing that we looked at the beginning. But the last part of it says, "But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." This world needs hope. And we deal with a lot of things in life. The ups and downs of life, the struggles that we deal with. We saw these verses. They're going to come. We're going to deal with them. But don't lose hope. Keep looking unto the Lord. And at the end of it, it says, "It is a tree of life." And that's what this world needs. They need life. And we, as the believers of God, have that life. So we can go and give that hope to the people that we come in contact with. The people in the workplace. The people in our neighborhood. The people that's going to be coming to our Vacation Bible School next week. They can come in and see, hey, there's something different about this place. They have hope. Something that I didn't have before. So I just want to encourage you guys. I'll tell you, this is my testimony. It's easy at times to lose hope. But let us be people that are always looking to the Lord, doing what we can to be a help and encouragement to others, and stay in God's word. This, I believe, will be a great help to each and every one of us as we go through life. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now. And Lord, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I thank you.